In a world where pointillism and cubism join forces to confound the art world and waste paint supplies. In a world where the welfare of the masses is ignored by the few for the benefit of the invisible. And in a world where social commentary is as useful as a social disease. These humble octogenarians will lift the lid on the rubbish bin of life, discard the scraps of last night's news, and pick through the trash of suffering to find a nice bit of mouldy hope on the Siamese herring experiment. Take it away, Brian and Brian. Oh yeah, and the other Brian.
Oh, good evening, Brian. It's great to catch up again. It's been a long week and a half since we talked via whatever it was to get the last poo cast up before we went over to the Vatican. Now, that was just harrowing, Brian, harrowing. I've been on uppers and downers ever since I stepped foot back on your property last Wednesday. Well, yesterday. Was it yesterday? I don't know, Brian. We were away for a week at that fucking Vatican.
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
They just keep throwing enormous amounts of money at us, Brian, to come over and fix things up.
Yes.
We know where all the skeletons are hidden and where all the keys are hidden and where all the trapdoors are and the funny passages. Old Georgie Pell used to look after a lot of that stuff. But since he's been gone, it's just been just trouble. Absolute trouble. We've said this time and time again. He was the glue, the very sticky glue that held a lot of things together over there. And that's a sad indictment for an institution that's been around as long as it has, Brian. But never mind. It'll keep ticking along for another couple of thousand centuries, destroying lives and buying real estate and putting the plate around for poor people to put all their money into, Brian.
Yes, that's right, Brian. We've had a lot of feedback while we were away about the last PooCast. People are asking us about how we got on and did we actually sort out Frankie and all that. And it's like we just said, look, fucking hang on. Wait till the next PooCast, you idiots. But it's been unstoppable. These people from America, Russia, Ukraine, aren't they supposed to be warring in those countries, Brian?
Yeah, they are.
But anyway, we'll let them know now because I know they're all sitting around in bloody – in wonderment. But anyway, this is what happened. We got on the plane. They picked us up, of course, in the jet, and it was just an amazing flight over. We didn't sleep, of course. There was 9 prostitutes and a dwarf. We had so much entertainment. The cocaine was flowing. The pilot got drunk, and he said, you could drive for a while. And we said, yeah, fucking hell, Brian's a pilot.
Yes.
We ended up in Albuquerque in America.
Yep.
That was absolutely perfect, Brian, because they had a good race meeting on there. We're a bit late getting to the Vatican. But the pontiff, he was absolutely aghast. But because he was drugged out so much, we just said, you missed a day, mate. It's all right. But when we did arrive and all we got into the you know, the formalities, we caught up with the cardinals, the vice chancellery, the archbishops, the clergy, all the nuns, and there was a massive meeting. It was just a huge meeting in that hall number 33, Brian, there on level 9 of the Vatican. I mean, the beauty of that hall is that because there's no odd bods or the normal people around the earth can get in there, it was all done in the nude. Now, this is how the Vatican people operate. They reckon it's better to concentrate.
Yeah.
And we believe in that. We've been saying that for years, and they've caught on to it.
They have, Brian.
Now, Brian, good old Archbishop von Epstein, he got up and talked for at least half an hour about what he'd been doing for the last couple of days when it came to bringing in illegal immigrants and a bit of drug mule stuff. And that was interesting. We learned a few things.
Yeah.
But then they got us up on stage.
Yeah.
Righto, you two blokes, what are you going to do? Make sure this idiot's right there on Easter Sunday. And, Brian, we just gave it to him right between the eyes, didn't we?
We did, Brian. We gave him a few new tattoos.
Yep.
That was good. That gives him a bit of street credibility, which the Pope hasn't had much of.
No.
Usually he gets either fondled by strange women, yes, or he gets things thrown at him by normal human beings. He's been a very polarizing person over the decades, Brian.
Yes.
So he's been studying up on the Murdoch papers recently. We told him that's just fucking nonsense. Put that stuff away.
Yeah.
And if you really want to get down to the people, get a few old back copies of Mad Magazine. I don't know if people these days understand what Mad Magazine is, but when we were young folks back in the 1950s or 40s or sometime around then, it was a very, very, very popular form of entertainment. It was akin to the newspaper of the day, full of wisdom and joviality. And the Pope said, well, I can't read anymore. The venereal disease destroyed my eyeballs.
Yeah, fucking idiot.
And we told him he was a fuckwit.
Yeah.
And to just
relax.
Just get out of your shell, mate. Just live a little. You know, we tried as best we could. And that's when we had to sig Bevan and Barry onto him.
Yes.
And give him a right old rogering.
That's right, Brian. Now, the thing was that we were seconded to go to that place to make sure that he is ready in a couple of weeks' time for the said day. And we found it to be a total success. First of all, we got him off the Viagra. Yep. We took us about 4 days to stop him.
Yep.
He'd wander around poking holes in walls and talking about how big he was.
Said he was bigger than Jesus Christ at one point, didn't he, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we just had to belittle him in public to make him aware that we're in charge now, mate.
Yeah.
He took it on board. He's a trooper.
Yeah.
And then it took another, I think it was another day and a half to stop him from, you know, snorting that cocaine. We said, mate, you've got to rest and settle down, because when you get onto that balcony, you're going to be a one-man show, even though Barry and Bevan are going to be under the bloody bench, you know, looking after you, not in the tool department, but prodding you along. And he came on board. It did take us a week to get him back to what we'd call his normality. Your philosophy of using coat hangers and sticks was going to be and will be the way that we'll prompt him and make him work. We had a couple of practice sessions in a mock-up balcony inside Vatican on level 3 near the bar.
Yeah.
We all adjourned to the bar afterwards, and we all said it was a great success. Yeah. So I think it's going to be fine, Brian. I think the biggest problem we've got now is that he tends not to get out of the bar during daylight hours. And unfortunately, the Easter ceremony for being on the balcony is during daylight hours.
Yeah.
They're looking at moving it to 6 p.m. where it will be a darkish time of day. Yeah. And I urge them to move it to darkness.
Yeah.
And I know you're in old Pontius's ear for a while there and going, mate, horse race number 7, put your dollars on it and your shekels.
Yep.
And he wouldn't come round. He didn't care about anything else. He just wanted to know about what it was like to live in Australia. Yeah. And anyway, we said, mate, we've got bigger fish to fry. We've got this idiot. Your idiot.
Yep.
We're trying to get sorted out here, and all you want to talk about is gambling.
Yeah.
So we took him to the races and got it out of his system. Yep. It's a great racetrack just over the road from the Vatican that we always frequent when we normally go over there.
Yeah.
But this was a special occasion.
Yeah.
The pontiff didn't come with us.
No.
He was too busy.
Yeah.
But I remember we called a couple of the nuns who took a flight with us, back with us, that we think we've got him on the straight and narrow now, Brent.
Yeah.
We believe that, don't we?
Well, we do. We think so. It was quite an interesting time there at the racetrack when his horse in race number 7 broke a fetlock. and came to a skidding halt on its face.
Yes.
Track stewards were racing out with their shotguns, going to put it down. And we called the pontiff and said, I think your bet's off.
Yeah.
He said, no, don't let them shoot it. Save the ammunition. Bring it back here and I can resurrect it.
Yes.
And he seemed to be making some sort of sense. It was the only way we could calm him down.
Yeah.
So we tied the horse to the back of the holy Volkswagen,
yeah.
dragged it back to the Vatican,
yeah.
trayed in through the back door, and the pontiff, in all his wisdom, he blessed it a number of times. He laid hands on it, fondled it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there was no saving that fetlock, but he did come up with a very, very interesting solution. Instead of having one ruined leg, he managed to lop off the other three and got those yeah. stumps fully healed. And so now he's got it's a big horse, but it's short in stature. It just roams around the place. And the smaller cardinals all take turns in riding it around nude
yes.
on level 4 in the practice room. This has got the Pope really excited, and he's managed to stay off the opium for a number of days.
It has.
And he's trying to organise an event where it's all stumpy horses racing. The legs will be chopped off and given to the poor children of the Vatican to chew on. And the horse racing will just enter a whole new phase across the globe. Yeah. Amputee horse racing yes. is bound to make a big comeback.
Yes.
And if the Pope has his way, it will be a starring attraction of the next Olympic Games, Brian.
Oh, look, I can't wait for that, Brian. Yeah. I know that Queen Elizabeth was mentioning this to us at a dinner party we had at the back yeah. of Buckingham Palace one day about miniature horses. Yeah. And we thought she's a bit like, you know, those little ones that you put dwarves on. But not actually lopping off limbs. I don't think she meant that.
No.
But we enjoy that. We love that as a fact of life. And, I thought it was a thrill. I thought the the mumbling and bumbling of the pontiff carrying on and all that was just a show that I thought was fantastic. And I'm hoping on Easter Sunday when he's out on that balcony, he mentions this stuff to the peasants, the riffraff that will be listening to him, because I reckon they will be so aroused and looking to the future, Brian, and horse racing and religion is probably the greatest partnership I could ever imagine.
Yep.
Add in alcohol, smoking, gambling.
Yeah.
This is what the people want. And I think, you know, the Pope Cup, the Cardinal Choice, the Archbishop Furlong thingamajiggy with the handicap on it.
Yeah.
You know, the handicap jockeys. That's what we want, Brian.
Yeah.
You want handicap jockeys on handicapped horses.
Yeah.
Handicapped as in like their legs are chopped off.
Yeah.
But if the, say, the jockey's only got one arm or got no legs too, that'd be a feature race, Brian.
It would.
And I think this is where the New World Order comes in, when you've got this mishmash of not only things that aren't looking right, but entertainment, Brian.
Yep.
This is what the people want these days. People want to see car crashes and buildings falling down. Well, imagine if you go to a racetrack, the whole track's littered with dead horses and dead jockeys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see it.
Yeah.
And the Rupert Murdoch and all those other clowns, they'd love it. They'd be on the news, front pages of newspapers. Yep. And then they'd start, is this right? And a whole new field of journalism will start about, is it right or is it wrong?
Yeah.
And this brings people into work, Brian.
It does.
Brings people into money.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what the whole religious thing about the whole church is about, how people go about their business and stuff.
Yeah.
And I applaud the Catholic Church for going in this direction, Brian, and I can't wait till the miniseries comes out.
Absolutely, Brian. This whole new spirit of inclusivity that we have in this day and age, in this 22nd century of ours, is just really what everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah.
No longer do you have rich people telling the poor people what to do. It's all a level playing field, and rich people can play with poor people, And people who are amputees can run alongside people with three legs and different biorhythms. It's all inclusive. Nothing is outdated. Yes. Dogs can sleep with humans. Humans can sleep with trees.
Yep.
The boundaries are broken down, Brian. And there's nothing that can't happen.
Yes.
Throw in a bit of artificial intelligence and IVF treatment on your left testicle. There's nothing that can't be done, Brian, in this day and age. And
no.
I'm hoping that we see miracle after miracle, Brian. People just being able to do things that were unimaginable back in 1927.
That's right, Brian. I think a lot of people thought that when we'd taken up this task of going over to the Vatican, that it'd be just a one-job affair, getting that idiot sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all the variables that happen when we're there, all the things that, you know, the different clergy, the different hierarchy of power, always asking about the Bryans and getting advice. And
we're
always happy to give advice, especially if there's, you know, you've got some Glenfiddich or some opium or some testosterone that's going to be whacked around because we roll that way, and most of these clowns over there do the same thing. So, you know, not only did we go over there just to get that idiot going, we did partake in some other festivities because, you know, you can't go over there and just work all the time, Brian, even when we're getting paid.
No.
They understand what it's like to be in the Vatican. It's just a fucking party all the time. And it love that. We love that enjoyment. We love coming back to Australia, get a peace and quiet on your property, get the V8s out and let a few rounds off. But, I mean, when you're indoors over there and it's a bit cool and they've got racetracks underground and they've got shooting galleries and they've got rifle ranges inside, it's just fan. It's wicked, Brian. It's absolutely wicked. And having, like, in Australia, we've got a thing called Dan Murphy's for our overseas listeners.
Yeah.
And Dan Murphy's is a liquor merchant.
Yes.
Good old Dan's just an absolute alcoholic. And he always has a warehouse. It's literally a warehouse full of booze.
And they're nearly on every corner in town, Brian.
The normal Vatican shop for the riffraff has got, you know, your sex toys and thingamajiggies.
Great for Christmas shopping.
The Vatican, Brian, sub-level four, underneath the funfair park and all that, is the Popeaholic Booze Warehouse.
Yeah.
Now, they gave us free keys to that. Well, they just said, go off you go, boys.
Yeah.
And that was unbelievable, Brian. We both got a trolley.
Yep.
And we sat in it, and we got Barry to push you and Bevan to push me.
Yep.
And all we did was just roll around, opening bottles and just throwing it down our guts.
That's it.
Now, this is how it should be in Australia, Brian. Yeah. You should be able to go to Dan Murphy's and just walk around or get pushed around and sample the product while you're there.
Yeah.
This is the future.
It is.
Where you sample everything before you buy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have, like, bloody boys, girls, cats.
Yeah.
Dogs,
chihuahuas,
all that stuff, and maybe even a gazelle.
Yeah,
anything you could shoot should be in there. Rats.
Yeah,
you know, this is what you talk introducing children to alcohol early.
Yeah,
and having like a bit of a shoot-a-thon.
Yeah,
inside this to me will be the new go-to place.
Yeah,
for people over about 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And then maybe cap it if you're 90. So we've still got at least a year or so, Brian, of just going running amok inside the new world of Dan Murphy's and shooting.
Yeah. It's great that the clergy, the Roman Catholic Church, have started a sponsorship deal with Dan Murphy's, and I think this will be really uplifting for the masses. Mm-hmm. And it will bring a whole new sense of belonging and drunkenness to the masses, Brian.
Oh, yes.
No more just having a little bit of red wine at the Innerville at your mass. Now you can just have beer taps right there in your pew where you sit your bot down on the bench with the spikes in it.
Yes.
You'll be able to pour yourself a nice frothy beer while you're in there, Brian. And yes. It won't matter what the priest's saying up there. He can gibber on with any old shit and no one will care because they'll be all full as googs, Brian.
I agree, Brian. Well, the newest thing in Australia is that we're coming into or out of the hottest time of year. So we're all putting our clothes back on soon because it's just getting a bit fresh at night time. And they go, you put clothes on? We said, yeah. Well, sometimes we do. They go, oh, Jesus, not here. The robes come off at any time willy-nilly. But they were astounded. Australians haven't taken up this religious style of living.
Baffling, Brian.
It's got to catch on. It's not vulgar. No. When they get out onto the pulpit or out onto the balcony, they've got a robe on, but underneath there's nothing there.
No.
It's just the way that the Catholic Church has always been expressing them well, so themselves well in a way that could only be classed as exposure, extortion, and just having a gay old time. This is how happiness begins, Brian. It's not all seriousness and death and destruction and all about money. Well, it is about money most of the time. Yes. But it's the beautiful things in the world, Brian, like opioids, sex toys, massage oil, prostitutes, male and female, and alcohol. They all mix together beautifully in a vat, a vat of loveliness and enjoyment.
They do.
And the Catholic Church has been trying to teach this for centuries, Brian, but nobody's listened until now. So the Brian's have shown them the way.
Yeah.
That idiot 2,000 years ago, he had no idea how to communicate. All he had to do was get on the fucking megaphone or on his walkie-talkie, just fucking dial O for murder and just let everybody know. No, he's out there on fucking up on Mount Sinai or fucking somewhere with a bloody loaf of bread or something. Nobody's interested in a loaf of bread, Brian.
No.
Seriously.
No. The old Jesus was a bit of a conundrum.
Yes.
He was a bit popular because he used to mumble a lot.
He did.
And people would kind of half hear what he was saying, and it seemed all a bit mysterious.
Yes.
But really, he spent a lot of time quoting from Shakespeare. And I think this is where the messages got mixed.
Yes.
And old Willie, he's been around forever as well as the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you can talk half-truths and dribble shit.
Yes.
And people will perk up an ear and go, oh, was that something interesting? Was that something profound?
Yeah.
There's something going on that I don't know about. Oh, I must pray and genuflect and touch myself in private parts and become one with the mystery of the Lord in a nude sort of fashion. And as the old nunnery used to say to us back in the old days when we were kiddies, noodliness is next to godliness. And bring your noodliness and your godliness over here and let me give it a good old rinse with a nice hand cloth, a bit of warm water, and a nice rub down. And I think that's what the people are missing these days, the simple things in life, Brian. It's all too complicated and there's too many clothes and not enough skin, as it were, Brian.
Exactly, Brian. I remember Sister Mercia and Sister Annunciata sat us down one day and they looked us both in the eyes because one of them had a dodgy third eye. And they said, in unison, that's how organized they were. They said, if Jesus or God wanted us to be clothed, we would have been born with clothes. And we looked at each other and went, geez, that makes sense. But I was pretty well sure I was told I was born with clothes, right? Well, my mother said. But, I'd rather listen to the nuns than my mother. And they showed photos, lots of photos of little boys.
Albums of them, Brian.
We thought it was amazing that they're so perceptive and all that.
Yeah.
But they were trying to make a point, Brian.
I think they were.
And I think that's the thing, they proved it with photographic evidence. They proved it by talking to us, rubbing us, genuflecting in front of us, and all that sort of stuff that makes the world go round.
Yeah.
The enjoyment level that they believe was appropriate was not only in their minds, but it was in their hands.
Yes.
This is the way of the Lord and the Master and destiny when you're a 5-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I've taken it through my life, Brian. I've always loved that
Yes.
But the nuns, the canoodling, the placement of the hands on the genitals, in a soothing way.
Yeah.
Not in a vicious way, Brian.
No, not at all. I think this is where some of the miscommunication and the misinterpretation of the Lord's message has come down. And hopefully the old Pope will get this sorted out on the balcony this year.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he spent many a year talking about what's going on in the world today and where we need to go in the future and what things need to change to bring us back into line with our humanity. Arianism, but most of the time that's just all been a load of shit.
Yes.
He just really needs to get back to basics, take his clothes off, and just show the real pontiff, show that he's a man, a real man, a man of solid convictions and hard practices, Brian.
That's right.
That's what we need, and the balcony's the place for it.
It is.
If you're ever going to show yourself in public, you need to do it from a balcony.
Yes, I agree, Brian. I think we'll be getting a phone call before that particular day. He'll be searching everywhere for those little blue pills.
Yeah.
We brought them all back to Australia. He can't be trusted.
No.
He'll just have to bone up on his own like the rest of us do, even though you know, we do have a couple. You know.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, Brian, is that
he
finds it hard to get an erection when he's so drunk. We just say, look,
you
know, do what you normally do and go down to the boys' toilets and look through the window, and that's always the way he's got aroused. And just think about it when you're looking over the balcony.
It's true, Brian.
And that'll give you some sort of cause to get that erection going. And I believe he'll have just the audience in raptures, Brian. I can see it. I'm glad I'm not going to be there. I'm pretty sure that I've seen it before and doesn't do me any good. But anyway, I digress.
Me neither.
Anyway, Brian, it's been fantastic talking to you again. It's just been a magnificent time. And I'm going to have a sleep for about 4 days and I'll catch you next Thursday, Brian.
Will do, Brian.
Good evening.
Bye.
Au revoir. Good gracious me. And Erden Durden, and a chihuahua.
Wow. Erden Durden to you, boy. Hasta la vista, myxomatosis, and alleluia. Oh, dear, we're going to hell.